Canada, hello United States, United States, because of course it's a very important country, plus most of my listeners from the United States. So hi there, hello Ukraine, and hello Slovakia. Today we join three countries together. We have a friend from Slovakia with us, who is still not really ready to speak in Ukrainian, even he's familiar with Ukraine and learning language, the language. So I mentioned in my previous podcast, I recently visited Kyiv, Ukraine. The city's look and feel is not what I would picture. Even I visit Ukraine every few years. We still often compare Poland versus Ukraine, assuming that Kyiv is just a bit late in the economy. For instance, personally, I still source my expectations for Ukraine in Polish Szczecin in early 1990s. I imagine the streets and public transport full of hungry working class, depressed ladies walking on the railways to collect fallen coal for cold houses, and drunk men dressed in heavy boots without job. But what I see in Kyiv, it is Porsche cars, well-dressed, slim and polite youngsters in coffee shops. Even the older generation sound much nicer, serving in second-class stores and restaurants. And I hear this type of music. That's what's dominating in Ukraine. This is Johnny, actually. During my concert, during my visit, his advertisement was everywhere. It's a Russian singer who definitely didn't violate the Ukrainian border, so he was welcome to Ukraine. So that's his Turkish influence, sweet music, Porsche cars, as I said. And in Kyiv, I feel eating a lot, positively discriminated as a Canadian, while still quite confused in my hometown. It is not only me who struggle to understand the mood, the drive in the city and in the country, Ukraine. From occasional visitors to concentrated thinkers as Francis Fukuyama, Ukraine looks developing differently from all expectations. I'm not a professional analyst, just an educated technician, subject expert when it comes to Ukraine, and I can't understand the beat in the developing country as well. Some analytical articles say about new service economy that the people are doing well on renting out properties in Kyiv. Also, the IT industry in Kyiv, Odessa, Lviv, Kharkiv, the restaurants full of IT geeks chatting about the unicorns. On the other hand, the figures of the Ukrainian economy are concerning. Only 160 billions of GDP in comparison with all similar size countries as Poland and Turkey, near 700 billions. It is more than four times less in Ukraine. So what is happening to the Ukrainian society and the Ukrainian economy? Is it a new service economy, or is it post-industrial, or maybe something very different? What would you say, Ivan?
Hi, Stanislav. Thanks for your question. The Ukrainian economy is totally different from what it was 30 years ago. In the early 90s, it was all agriculture and steel. Very boring, very predictable economy that couldn't provide the quality of life that Ukrainians aspired to have. While now, Ukraine's economy is mostly about servicing sectors, which are mostly technology and banking. Technology sector is growing over 35%, which is a lot, and this is a very good figure, while the banking sector of Ukraine has profits that it hasn't had for 15 years. And the development of these two sectors, banking and technology, tells a story of how Ukraine's economy gets sophisticated on the one hand, but on the other hand, this sophisticatedness comes with income inequality. As you said, Stanislav, in Kyiv you saw fancy cars, and coffee shops full of youngsters who have latest iPhones they enjoy the most expensive food they can afford. But the dividends from the economic growth are not distributed equally. And that's the same problem that you have not only in Ukraine, but you have the same problem in the United States, in the United Kingdom. Take the United Kingdom in the 80s and take it now. In the 80s, there was lots of poverty in the United Kingdom, but when the privatization came and economic reforms, country became much richer. And the politics in the United States with discussions between Republicans and Democrats, it mostly evolves around income inequality, with Republicans now taking their own stance on this issue that's been previously monopolized by Democrats. Getting back to Ukraine, Ukraine has learned a lot of lessons about the economy. Ukrainians learned how to save money, how to invest money. They are used to buying things every time they visit a shopping mall or a supermarket. This is a totally new consumer culture from what it was before. But on the other hand, Ukrainians still need to learn a lessons of how culture intersects with the economy, about what kind of attitude they should have towards money and capital. So after Ukraine learns the hardest part, the culture of spending, the culture of earning, the culture of building new post-industrial economy, I think it will be a surprise for the whole region, because we know Slovakia is developing very well, and Sergei will probably tell us a little bit later. But yeah, Ukraine is an example for some neighboring countries like Moldova, Georgia, Armenia, who look up to how things are done in Ukraine, so maybe they can learn some economic lessons, some cultural lessons, since Ukraine is quite a tolerant society with European values, and where people are able to find common language between each other, where people don't fight over details that don't matter.
Let's stick with the economy. Thank you for this overview of what's happening in Ukrainian economy, Ivan. Ivan Verstuk, let me finally introduce who we're hearing today. Ivan Verstuk, he's the editor of NV Business magazine.
Right, business department of the magazine.
And he was guest of my podcast some 2 months ago. And we have another guest today, as Ivan mentioned, Sergei Strajnak, who is also returning to this podcast. He's a Slovakian in Slovakia today. And we will discuss one chapter of the Ukrainian and Slovakian economy, which unites both economies. By the way, hi Sergei. Sorry for muting you. Hi. So let me go to this point. Slovakia very fast industrializing. For example, in Czechoslovakia, we know that Czechs were more industrial, Slovaks were less industrial, more agriculture. But today, Slovakian auto manufacturing industry is growing. Slovakia becoming one of biggest manufacturer of cars. It's impressive for Ukrainians, for many post-industrial or industrial thinking Ukrainians. But on the other hand, I have a Slovakian friend here in Canada who recently returned from his motherland, and he's worrisome about Slovakia. He said mood there very depressive, people tired to work, people working too hard. He says, here in Canada, he said, we may be used to work like this, but Slovakian society was more laid back. Sergei, you understand, what about Slovakian economy? Is it something different from Ukrainian indeed?
Thanks for the question and this information. As you told, yes, in the past, when I was Czechoslovakia, Czech Republic was the leader in industry, and Slovakia was like agricultural country, maybe 60 years ago. And now, maybe 30 years ago, we started the industry. And the main industry in Slovak Republic is according to the automotive, how you told. We have a lot of automotive or the firmas that are developing, creating the cars, like for example Land Rover or Volkswagen, and so we have a lot of these fabrics. It's very good because we have very good GDP for that. At the end, for example, now I can see in the last years that very very big potential we have in IT. Especially in Košice and in Bratislava, we have IT cluster, and this IT cluster has very big potential. I think that in Ukraine is the same, because in Lviv or in Kyiv, a lot of IT developers or test automation engineers, and this is very good for the jobs or for example GDP, because it's a very good job.
Yeah. Let me add that the technology jobs are usually very well paid, and in the Ukrainian society, a dream job. So if in the 70s or in the 80s, Ukrainian kids were dreaming of becoming cosmonauts, astronauts to conquer moon, now they mostly dream of becoming technology engineers and developers. So they could travel, say, to Košice, or they could travel to Silicon Valley or any other country and enjoy the lifestyle that the rich and famous have.
So we must agree, IT sector is growing in both countries, and it's a very positive story in both Ukraine and Canada and Slovakia and Canada as well, but we more concentrate today on Ukraine and Slovakia. So I'm going back to Sergei. When I was introducing him, I forgot to say that he has a concentration on industrial parks in Slovakia and in Ukraine. And when we talk about industrial parks in both countries, we enter very interesting area, because when we talk about industrialization of countries as Ukraine and Slovakia, we see some frustration in Slovakia, or tiredness, maybe Sergei will contradict, it's not a frustration, but definitely many people not ready to work so much. And in Ukraine, they don't even start doing this. That's my point from beginning. Government makes some effort. They created non-governmental organizations, Sergei knows some of those, which are facilitating creation of the parks. They announced goal of 50 industrial parks. The goal was never met. We have in Ukraine 5 working industrial parks. So way underachieving expectation. In Slovakia, in contrast, Sergei, again, here is a big expert, about 50. Sorry, it's in Poland about 50. I don't know exactly how many in Slovakia. So Poland is success in industrial parks, and Slovakia is success. And Sergei is right. It gives you just GDP figures, which impress investors, impress neighbors as Ukraine. But in case of Ukraine, it's not starting. Whatever government does, all this effort doesn't bring outcome. My conclusion, Ukraine doesn't want to go back to industrial world. So Sergei and Ivan, what we can say on this?
Maybe could I start?
Yes, please.
Okay. Go ahead.
86 industrial parks in Slovakia, in western, eastern, central Slovakia, and so, and it's supported from the government. It's very important to say that it's not only supported by the government, but it's supported by the European Union grant. For example, when some city is going to build some industrial park, they can have some grant from the European Union. I don't know where it's possible in Ukraine. From my point of view, it's not so easy to have some grant from Europe. And second point is that I know that in Ukraine is Ukraine Invest Agency, in Slovak Republic is Slovak Investment and Trend Development Agency, and this agency is primarily responsible for the marketing, for the investors, and for everything according to industrial parks, for presenting industrial parks to the investors. We are presenting our industrial parks and IT as well, but industrial parks potential, for example, by modern IT technologies, yes, for example, by websites, and I have to say that, for example, by mobile applications. Now, for example, Slovak Republic has the mobile applications according to the industrial parks and the potential of industrial parks. I'm working on this application and is official undercover of Sario. And this application is presented everywhere where the...
Mm-hmm. On the all platforms. Yeah, so, we discussed it in previous podcast with you, Sergei. Yes, you are developing those smart application which you can upload it to your phone and see what's going on in industrial parks in both countries, Slovakia and Ukraine. So please continue. Yes,
and it's very good to say that in Slovak Republic, this, for example, Sario, Ministry of Economy, make very good way to promote these industrial parks for example, every business of commerce, for example, German business of commerce or another. Mm-hmm. And I see that they wanted to present not only, for example, industrial parks near capital city, yes, but very good to present the industrial parks in the part of Slovakia where it's good to have more investors. Yes, because people, for example, from Eastern Slovakia is going to Western Slovakia for job. Mm-hmm. Now, maybe not so, but in the 10 years ago, it was a lot of people. But now it's very good, or it was better presented, for example. Mm-hmm. And now we can see that our parks maybe are for 50-60% full of the investor.
So 80 working industrial park. Wow, it's like more than in Poland. Even Poland is much bigger. So yeah, huge industrial success recognized by everyone. In Ukrainian government, by the way, let me add, also supporting. Of course, it cannot give such money as European Union gives, but there are some flexible tax approach for industrial parks. There are some perks for helping, but it's not starting in Ukraine and in Slovakia. What would you say about frustration, about industrial tiredness? What's my friend here in Canada tells me? Can you add something to this, Sergey?
But not only in the industrial parks, but in the IT sector as well. But in industrial parks is that is the problem of Slovak Republic. We don't have a lot of people, they will work in industrial parks. Now we have a lot of people, for example, from Serbia, they are working in our industrial parks because we don't have people, or the people were mm-hmm. don't want to work, for example, because according to the 12 hours you have to be there, you have to stand, because it's mm-hmm. it's not so easy work. And mm-hmm. Now we can see that some firmas or some companies in the industrial parks have the problem with hiring people. This is a big problem here now.
Yeah, and those Slovaks who work, are you agree that they are kind of overworked? Yeah, you mentioned it's hard to work. Actually, myself personally, I used to work in industrial park in northern Montreal. So I know how hard is this work and what is the environment over there. It's a different world, those industrial parks. It's especially when it comes to manufacturing of cars, for example, or plastic windows or something industrial. So it's a very hard job. And you confirm that Slovakians not thrilled to go this way, right? So basically, exactly. You need foreign workers for that. Ivan, I think we have cultural problem in Ukraine with that. Because it's exactly that. Locals, as Slovakians, Ukrainians, not thrilled by the idea of industrialization. I recently wrote an article about for your magazine about
the article.
One of explorations during preparing this article, I was reading interviews with locals in Stryi, and they are not thrilled to join anything industrial-like. They want to be fully independent. They don't believe in industrial approach. This is Stryi, East Western Ukraine. But I believe even in Central Ukraine, Eastern may be a little bit different, more industrialized. But even Central, near Kyiv, Chernihiv, Cherkasy, this region, one successful industrial park in Bila Tserkva, probably flagship now for Ukraine. This is close to Kyiv. But besides that, they cannot start the industrial parks. In Western Ukraine, they cannot find people as well.
Let me say a couple of things on this. You're right, this is a cultural issue, since like thousands or even dozens of thousands of Ukrainians went through these workshops and seminars that would explain them that it's necessary to be an entrepreneur, that it's necessary to be your own employer. And this is why jobs in marketing, jobs in digital economy mm-hmm. are much more popular than manual jobs, than manufacturing jobs. And this is a problem that I believe is not only specific to Ukraine. You've mentioned industrial park in Bila Tserkva. That's close to Kyiv, like 1 hour drive to the south from Kyiv. It's a good park, and it provides two components. First, it provides production facility for those who are willing to produce anything physical, whether these are pharmaceuticals, whether this is furniture or anything else. And second, it provides investment. If you want to have your own factory that produces anything from confectionery and food business to hardware, technology, the technological hardware, you need both production facilities and you need investment capital, so someone would trust you money to make necessary purchases, to hire people. But on the other hand, Ukraine has quite a developed engineering culture. Stanislav, you're an engineer and you know very well that it being an engineer takes a very special attitude to things. When an engineer looks around and sees anything around him, whether this is iPhone or a lighter for lighting a cigarette, engineer usually thinks, how can I improve it to be better, to work better, to look better? Modern universities need to teach those things, not only basics in physics, geometry, or anything else.
So you think there is an educational issue?
The engineering design that Steve Jobs paid so much attention to.
My understanding
to like 500,000 engineers. Yes. That's a huge workforce.
Exactly. We don't have problem with engineers and creativity of engineers. It's not a problem, I think. What I hear, engineers are very good quality still in Ukraine. Education is still very good. We're talking about this drive to become part of anything industrial in both countries, Slovakia and Ukraine. And we see that Slovakia is successful with huge money invested, support of European Union, but they have to hire foreigners now. And I hear that locals are not happy to work there on the factories. They are not happy to be part of this industrial success. My general idea, maybe conclusion of this discussion, if I go a little bit ahead, we're still not finished, but my conclusion is basically that maybe Ukraine has to skip industrial period of own development if it's so hard to disseminate this culture, because it's a culture, this steel boots culture. Even you are an engineer, you are still in industrial environment. So we can keep IT industry because it's very successful everywhere, including Ukraine. But when it comes to production of cars, of manufacturing of plastic windows, of kitchen equipment, of refrigerators, we can pass. I mean, of course, government solution, we cannot stop it here in our podcast, but we can say at least maybe it's a cultural issue and we have to give up in going Polish and Slovakian way.
I think that's a matter of having a right balance in the economy. There is no way Ukraine will be losing its agriculture because it has leading positions in sunflower oil and in grains.
Yeah, in agro is so good. It's a different topic.
It's not about making agriculture a thing of the past, something that people in 50 years will be thinking of a weird thing that their ancestors did. It's about bringing technology and innovation to agriculture. A couple of days ago, I read an article in the Wall Street Journal that said that venture capital funneling in the agriculture startups that use artificial intelligence is on the rise. It has the amount of investments is at an all-time high, and that's a good example.
Yeah, it's closer to IT
to use technology to make agriculture to look like not as a modern day slavery where you manually do the hardest physical job you can ever have.
Fine with agro. Everything fine with IT.
Easier and much better.
We don't have a problem with agro in Ukraine. In Slovakia as well, I believe, but in Ukraine specifically, agro is growing. Agro is prospective. We will adopt a lot of new technologies. And my concern, I love the idea of industrial parks. Again, how I said in introduction, I was part of it. I started my first job in Canada as a worker in industrial park. I was shocked culturally. Actually, now I'm writing a story about this, fictional story about my experience, basically. How different is this world in industrial parks? It's industrial culture, modern culture. It's a special attraction because it's stable, it's simple, it's very a lot of automatizations there. So this which touched me and scared me in the end, by the way. I escaped this industrial park. I became a student in university. I went back to university from industrial parks. But some people stay there for years, for whole life. Some immigrants coming to Canada from Slovakia, from Ukraine, starting work to work in industrial parks, they stay there forever. They make this choice, cultural choice, to stay in industrial parks. And that's what Poland was successful in. That was, I mentioned Szczecin in 1990s. That's how they started, the successful, building successful economy and big GDP. Slovakia is very successful. Ukraine, not successful at all. Cannot even launch it. And it's bothering me because, again, it's ruining my picture of Ukraine. I was thinking it will go Polish way. I was thinking it will go Slovakian and Canadian way. But I come to Kyiv, what I see, it's absolutely different from what I expect to see. And not only me, many, many Canadians coming to Ukraine, and they shocked by this different world they expected to see. So, maybe...
Let me make a short comment about Ukraine pursuing its own way instead of doing things that Slovakia, with its automotive industry, did, and what Poles did when they could get enormous economic support from the European Union. Ukraine had its own number of mistakes and poor political solutions. Besides that, some economic developments like privatization or cleaning up the banking system were never really popular with lots of populations. Millions of people do not support privatization, though they are minority. Mm-hmm. Things are hard to be done in Ukraine, Ukraine is much, much different from what it was 5 years ago and 10 years mm-hmm. ago. And that's something we should admit. Of course, Ukraine's volume of GDP is still relatively low by the Eastern Europe standards.
It's very low.
It's rather says that Ukraine will have in its growth period that has already probably started. So Ukraine is a growth nation. Ukraine is a growth economy. And while Slovak Republic and Poland have realized and brought to life much of its potential, Ukraine is bringing its potential into life right now. And those investors who consider investing in Ukraine, placing capital in Ukrainian business, will have good returns if they have enough patience to wait 5 years of 10 years, like institutional investors should
problem,
have that kind of
vision. Problems that many investors, many, workforce, people from Canada, they escape Ukraine because they don't understand it. That's a part of why our discussion. We want to understand what's going on. Sergei, what would you add to this, to my idea that, just I said before, that we probably could skip in Ukraine industrial park parks when it comes to our machinery, heavy industry, consumption industry? We can skip it. We can buy Slovakian stuff and concentrate on IT and post-industrial manufacturing.
I can't agree with you because I think that, of course, for example, we have IT, but it's not possible for everybody to work in IT sector. And I think for each economy, it's very good to have industrial parks and heavy or light industry. I see that, for example, in Slovak Republic, some years ago, we had some heavy industry. It was from the Czechoslovakia, but it was destroyed. And now, for example, we don't have this heavy industry. And I know that it was very good to have this. And I think that I see this, for example, in Eastern Slovakia, that many industrial parks gave a lot of job positions to people that could work here in Slovakia and can be with the families. So they are not looking for jobs in other countries. Mm-hmm. And very good for every region, because every investment or every foreign company gave or will pay taxes and a lot of other second money. Yes, so I think that Ukraine have big potential with the industrial parks, and not only for example, because Ukraine is not only Kiev, Lviv, Dnipropetrovsk, and so on. It's smaller cities where the people wanted to work and need some jobs, and for that it's very good to have.
But still, we have I have this article I will add to later to not show notes of this podcast. We have an article about the Ukrainian basically frustration in industrial parks. It's not only me who thinks this way. Government for this year, I think lowered support of industrial parks. I think elites, political elites, they also confused by not growing so far. But like what when it comes to industrial approach, anything grow, nothing grows as expected. We have only 5 parks. We were expecting, it's about 10 years after we started talking about industrial parks, not only talking, after the government put money to it, after the government put effort to it. And there is no outcome as it was expected. I think it's still an issue of communications. I still locals don't understand what is industrial parks, but I'm a different person. I'm a podcaster. I feel everything is issue of communications. So what would you say, is it, do we have communications issue, Sergey, in Ukraine around introducing IP and industrial parks?
Please could you repeat? I didn't understand.
Do you think when you, because you follow this subject in Ukraine for years, we talked to you 2 years ago, and you were first person who developed application for to download to your phone for Ukrainians and or foreign investors, and to see what's going on in industrial parks development in Ukraine. You were, Sergey, this person who made this first step, communications actually step, because having app with all information in your phone, it's smart, it's brilliant, and no one, not much support for your idea, right?
Yes, I can compare, for example, with Slovak Republic, because I developed this application for Slovak Republic as well. And I need to tell that, for example, I wrote to our minister, it is Richard Sulik, Minister of Economy, that I have this application. Maybe it will be good to share this application or for some support, for example. And he met with me. I was for me it was very good, because I didn't I didn't think that minister will have a meeting with me. I presented this application, and now this application is under SARIO, Slovenia Centre Development Agency. It's officially. So yes,
they adapted it officially, and they promoted it probably, right?
Exactly. Yes. It is promoted as well. And according to Ukraine, yes, of course, I wrote to some people, yes, but it was not, for example, any support or something like that. Of course, I have a lot of information that I can use in application, but it was not officially, for example, that they presented or something like that.
Right. So see, because with your application, at least, I don't want to repeat it again. So the story around your application and your effort, actually, you put a lot of effort to promote it in Ukraine. I don't think we put enough effort to promote industrial parks. That's why I started writing this fictional story. Maybe someone will read my story and understand what is industrial park.
Of course, Stanislav. Mm-hmm. A fictional story about industrial parks is a good idea, I think.
You know, I learned recently English word pathos. In Ukraine is very popular word, pathos. My pathos of today's podcast is that we should be looking to things under different angles. And if something doesn't work, there is always chance to skip it, to adjust our approach. And if we don't do this, if we keep pushing money to something that doesn't work, keep pushing money, for example, in infrastructure in case of industrial parks, but not pushing money to promoting the idea of working in industrial park, then it won't work. Again, Sergey, You never commented on my inclination that there is frustration, industrial frustration in Slovakia. What would you say? Is my friend correct that people want to drink more beer, less stay next to industrial machinery?
I think yes, it's true. I have to say that yes. I can see that maybe 10 years ago it was not so frustrating, these people, but now a lot of people think that it's very hard to work in industrial parks, and yes.
And I see it everywhere, Sergei. It's in Canada too. People not willing to go to industrial environment anymore. We, as society everywhere, as a global society, we sold out different models of success. Those models in IT, those models in financing, those models in sport, in movie making, but not in industrial production. And we have problems now with industrial workers everywhere, Canada, including Ukraine. Even in Ukraine, again, who would imagine so many people, industrial workers from Soviet Union, but now they watch those movies. They watch the shows and this music, which I played in the beginning of podcast, and it's nothing about industrial environment. If they were listening Rammstein, I would say they would be more ready to work, or I don't know, even AC/DC or even heavy metal, right? It's more industrial inspired music, but they listen this Johnny, who is singing Turkish sweet music about billionaires, right? And they want to be part of this story. They don't want to be part of my story, which I'm writing now. Then I'm young engineer, moved to Canada from Ukraine, sitting on asphalt, eating my snack, and shocked what I see around me. Because when I came to Canada, I was not expecting to see this hard work, industrial work. But still, thousands around me do this every day. And this is what industrial parks about. And it's not okay, now it's different culture. Agree. I step on my song, on throat of my song, and saying, yeah, now look at the Unit City in Kyiv. Well, they're creating those working spaces, those cushions, those colorful offices. And this is also industrial, but it's post-industrial in terms of industry.
Let me make a short comment, Stanislav. You said a very important thing when we're talking about the heavy metal music. What I thought is that the heavy metal music was supposed to be a music for hard-working people.
Exactly.
Do manual jobs, in terms of style, right? Mm-hmm. And now what needs to be done is the different image of manufacturing jobs. I don't think that the totally post-industrial economy where is nothing's produced by people manually is possible even in the 10 years time. So it's about having the right image of the manual jobs. Now it's fashionable to do a job that you may post about on Instagram or Facebook, showing if you're sitting on your computer drinking coffee and having a good time doing some complicated task in the Microsoft Word. While manual jobs are not as fashionable because it's hard work, sometimes your fingers are oily and your face has all kinds of ash on it. And that just doesn't look Instagrammable. And that's the cultural problem. Yes. How people in societies in Ukraine or elsewhere, how they see, how they view manual jobs, they need to be well respected. And they need to be back into fashion, because once you start, it would be a very good career. And Ukrainians just need to understand it again, that career in manufacturing and career in industry is also a very, very good career. And
For some people,
I would say that even the robotics and the automatization of all the hardworking jobs, I don't think it will take all the jobs in this sector, because robots would still need some human oversight, I think so.
Sergei, do you have anything to add? We probably will conclude now our podcast.
I think that what Ivan told, I totally agree.
So, guys, I'll finish it with industrial musing from Belarus. It's Ляпис Трубецкой. This is an example of industrial. It's actually Belarusian Rammstein, I would say. So there is a lot of still Belarus is pretty industrial country, unlike Ukraine. So guys, very interesting topic, and I encourage if someone listening, and I know someone who is in charge for industrial parks in Ukraine, or someone listening from government in Ukraine, for local governments in Ukraine, please, more hard rock, less Johnny, if you want to be your community more industrial.